Small businesses are the cornerstones of our local communities, and small business owners are hardworking and passionate people who are chasing down their ambitions while there's a lot on the line. So, let Verizon champion your small business dreams. Whether you own a small business, are scaling one, or starting one from scratch, you need Verizon Small Business Days. From April 22nd through April 28th, you can partner with Verizon business experts for small business support. During Verizon Small Business Days, you can receive a free tech check with a one-on-one meeting with a Verizon business expert. Plus, Verizon business experts will provide you with personalized advice and solutions that are tailored to your specific small business needs. Take advantage of special offers and deals during Verizon Small Business Days and get more for your business. Verizon, well, they've got you back. Don't miss out. Book an appointment today. Just call 1-800-483-4428 or go to verizon.com/small business.
So why do you want to learn a new language?
I'll tell you why. Because ¿dónde está el baño? Can be a very important question at times. You know, Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. Fast track your language acquisition with immersive lessons designed to teach you to pick up languages in a natural way. I love the fact that I can go from my laptop to my phone to pretty much anywhere and learn the language of my choice. Not to mention, I'm bringing my communication skills to new heights. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a limited time, StarTalk Radio listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/StarTalk. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/StarTalk today.
Welcome to StarTalk, your place in the universe where science and pop culture collide. StarTalk begins right now.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to StarTalk Radio, live from the Bell House Theater in Brooklyn, New York. The town's so nice, they named it twice. And we are going to have big fun tonight talking about climate change. We have with us our regular co-host. Is that your noun?
Sure.
Eugene Merman. And our science authority, a Nobel laureate with respect to climate change, Dr. Cynthia Rosenzweig.
One of thousands.
And helping out with the hilarious science comedy, Wall to Wall, is Jermaine Clement.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Cynthia, you were involved in the IPCC, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, back in 2007, right? And what was going on back then?
By the way, that was when the Nobel Prize was given to all of the IPCC scientists, so I'm just really one of many, many, many. So,
I'll just hold just that thought. How many people here have a Nobel Prize? Go ahead.
I'm very humble about my Nobel Prize as well. I don't even like any publicity about it or anything written about it.
Okay, but let me tell you a little bit about the IPCC stands for Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, and it is scientists from all over the world who work on climate science. They work on actually the impacts and adaptation and vulnerability. I'm in that part. And then there's the mitigation scientists who work on reducing greenhouse gas emissions. So it's
what were you doing back in 2007?
In 2007, I co-led the chapter on observed impacts of changes that are happening right now. Because there's a lot in climate change on projections into the future. This is what it's going to happen in 2050. By the way, I'm going to be telling you a lot of those here tonight, too. But what a group of scientists came to realize is, we all know, climate change is happening now. And
And when you say now, you meant then.
Then. Actually, I mean over the past 100 years. And there had to be effects. There had to be, well, what, you know, what impacts were there? We call them impacts. What did those change? So what we did with our chapter with scientists all around the world was to make a database of 28,000 time series of changes in all
You say time series?
Time series. Those
These are like data. Graphs.
They're, it's the data that go into the graphs. And these are about species changing, moving their boundaries up to higher latitudes because it's getting warmer. Birds are arriving earlier in their...
Then they're invited.
Then they're invited. And then there are changes in the water cycle. So we put together this massive database to show then that those were happening now. And 2013, the climate scientists came out with the rates of climate change, which we can go into, that now they're even more.
Well, that's the rates higher changing. Than any. Yeah, the rates higher than anybody was willing to admit, right?
Pretty and
I'm happy to admit
it's happening faster. Yeah. So one of the things, one of the science things actually we do is we use models, which are big mathematical sets of equations for the whole climate system. And then we look to see, well, on those observations of what's been happening, do the models, are they doing a good job projecting? And they, in general, they're doing a pretty good job, but some of these changes have been occurring faster than have been projected.
What's an example of a faster change than you than everybody anticipates?
Eagles having sex at 2 years old.
Some of the warming in some of the...
Cynthia, hang on a sec. Really?
So, for example, the...
Oh, wait, was I right?
I guess so.
So I would give that probably the one of the most important examples is the melting of the polar ice cap, especially in northern hemisphere, but it's also happening in Antarctica as well.
That's my hemisphere, by the way. I represent that hemisphere.
That loss of polar ice.
And we have a pole as well down the south. We have our own pole.
Yes, and because you're down in New Zealand,
that's
right.
There's no Father Christmas, but otherwise it's very similar.
Wow. I did not know that. So the thing about polar changes is that it's a positive feedback where you melt ice and less sunlight's reflected into space, so the seawater is dark, holds in more heat, more ice melts. Blah! Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. It happens on land as well.
Cynthia, I have a question.
Yes.
Why should we be concerned about this?
Yes, why? Well, because, you know, when we just say the time, when
one.
We just
Good
say,
question.
when scientists come and say, for example, well, since 1880, there's been almost a degree Celsius warming. And I think people might go saying, well.
Pretty old scientists.
Yeah, like what's going on with that? 0.85 degrees C, right? But when, first of all, that's the global average. And so up at the poles, it's much, much more than that.
How much more is it, seriously?
Like
the poles?
Up to.
1.5 degrees Celsius?
No. Like 3, 4, 5, 6.
That's really
good. On the order of 3, 4. It's much, much more. And that's why you're seeing that melting. It's because it's that high latitude amplification that you just gave the science explanation of.
Yes, I just gave the science explanation.
Very good.
That sentence. So,
see,
but let me
really
ask you this. Do we know, because here's what's going to happen. There will be people questioning all this, which is troublesome. Do we know why it's happening more quickly or why it's much warmer, a higher change at the poles than
yes,
we have
Yes, exactly
elsewhere?
For the reason that you gave, the high
Oh, is that simple or that complicated?
Well, there's other dynamic changes as well in the atmosphere.
But what's the main one? It's that it's higher?
It's a positive feedback because the reflectivity, which we call the albedo, is...
Why don't you want me to know you call it the albedo, just him?
Okay.
Albedo is from the word for white.
Snow and ice are very reflective. The water and the land and vegetation are darker, and they absorb more heat. Mm-hmm. So you get a positive feedback of warming.
Eugene has a very strong albedo.
I don't like it brought up.
And so this is a serious problem because as we melt the poles, the world's going to hold in more heat. The world gets on the order of sextillion joules every second.
Yes.
And so if you increase the temperature of the world 1 degree Celsius, you're talking about zillions of calories of heat that the world is holding in that it didn't used to.
What I want to know is, in Soylent Green, in the movie Soylent Green, which was made in, what, the 70s, they're talking about the greenhouse effect all the time. Why didn't people listen to Soylent Green?
Well,
because next thing you know, we're going to be eating people.
Yeah, you know what?
So that's what happens at the end, spoiler alert.
You know, it depends on the people.
A Swedish scientist did a back-of-the-envelope calculation of the greenhouse effect in the late 1800s, because with the Industrial Revolution,
a lot more people saw Soylent Green. It's a very popular movie. No one read that.
Just everybody, if you're into this, we need the greenhouse effect, or we wouldn't be warm enough to live here at all on Earth. And this is where visible light comes through the atmosphere, hits the Earth's surface, it changes to a lower frequency to infrared, below red, and then the atmosphere holds that in. And here we all are, happy.
So we need a little greenhouse, but not as much as we're about
right.
to have.
So what we're doing with the greenhouse gas emissions, it's like we're putting on a thicker, fluffier blanket. Sometimes we describe it that way.
We want enough to make. To grow nice tomatoes, but we don't want to burn. We don't want that. That's right. the level we want to keep it at somewhere.
Right.
And there.
Yeah. And that gets to impacts. That's why we care, because the climate system affects every single thing on the planet.
This sounds like a liberal money making scheme that I can't understand.
I don't know about that.
So, doctor. You are a senior research scientist at NASA, so you're limited on what you can actually say about certain things. Is that true?
We provide the science and technology, the science foundation, the knowledge foundation. And then there's lots of... So at what we want, there are lots of decisions to be made. So I can't comment on political things.
But there is going to be a decline in health. Is that true?
That's an impact.
Can you name which 10 senators are evil? And I don't mean bad, I mean evil.
Right. So let's go to the impacts. So let's just talk about sea level rise first, because when it's warmer, so the land ice, a lot of the water on the planet is caught up in glaciers. So when it gets warmer, those glaciers are they are already melting, increasing sea level.
It goes downhill,
it all flows in. Also, warmer. These are the knock-on effects of temperature. Also, warmer ocean temperatures expand. Water expands. So we have thermal expansion. So a combination of thermal expansion and melting of land ice. We have sea level rise, again, already happening. So just right here in New York City, we've had over the past 100 years over a foot of sea level rise.
Meaning... the water is a foot higher.
Yeah.
So there was Sandy, right?
Yes.
Now the sea level is already higher, but then that was wind blown, and we had a big rush.
Right. So.
And we shut down the power. Everything south of 26th Street or something, right?
Yes, we did.
That we call that an impact.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Lit was closed.
But I have to be very clear with you that we cannot say it's climate change. But we can say that there is
likelihood.
Science showing that the most intense hurricanes are projected to change in the future. This is still very much an active area of research. But guess what? Even if the storms don't change and become more intense, as they are in general projected to do, but when we have the higher sea level, again, it's like, 1 foot, who cares? But really what happens is when any storm, even if the storms don't change, a storm comes along, it's 1 foot high, the seas are 1 foot higher, the coastal flooding goes 1 foot further to of elevation, and that
goes
and
from 26th to 80th.
Yeah, the one piece of Sandy that we could say was actually affected by climate change was the part of the sea level rise that is attributed to global warming, climate change, with the ocean temperatures and melting, and which is on the order of about half of that. And so that extent of flooding that we had in Sandy, that is the actual direct link to climate change.
So just for everybody, think about if it's 1 foot, 30 centimeters.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Sorry, I don't. I have
for the modern world.
Yeah. For everybody on Earth except this place. Right. Anyway, if you have something that is several hundred kilometers wide, when you add a foot of that, you're adding just an enormous volume of water. Enough to cover the streets of Manhattan and sink New Orleans. And you know, there's going to be all kinds of trouble in Florida and so on. That's in the developed world, the United States. And
let me just say that it's fine that will be a problem in Florida. New York, it's not fine.
But there are parts of the world that are already flooded. The Kiribati Islands in Polynesia.
Yes.
They don't have much topography.
And your people are taking them in, right? The Kiwis are taking.
I think they're not taking them in. Is this
and that's
scandal.
Troublesome.
They've got nowhere to go. So if you've got, I don't know, Airbnb.
The thing that impresses me is just the money involved. When you shut down a city like New Orleans or Miami or New York for a week or two, you're talking about billions and billions of dollars, right?
Yeah, the estimate of the damage of Sandy for the New York City was $19 billion.
And was it all scones, the lack of...
Good scones.
Unbought.
So...
$19 billion?
Yeah.
Dollars?
In how many weeks? Or in general?
No, that was in like 1 week. You know, that it was basically, that was it. I mean, you know, it happened fast, as we know. And some of the rebuilding is still going on. So, but can I tell you an important thing about Sandy?
Sure.
Which is...
Was it named after the character in the movie Grease?
No, it's the squirrel. It's the squirrel on SpongeBob.
Important.
Oh, interesting.
It actually,
what's the other interesting fact about?
So in climate science, we have this concept of tipping point. Tipping points, so for example, it's mostly used in the melting of the ice sheets, that there's this slow accumulation of a rate of change, and then all of a sudden, wham, tipping point, and great acceleration.
And that's what we're concerned about.
What's the year that it would be wham? What's wham year, in your opinion?
Well, that's when we should put this podcast out.
That's very challenging to give one.
But it doesn't sound good.
Right. But,
no.
You know,
I was going to say this is the most depressing comedy show I've ever been involved
in. Oh, dear.
No, wait. No. She's going to... She'll lay on the optimism. Watch this.
Right. So the UN, they have chosen a 2 degrees C warming. But, you know,
as
really
a bad,
the science
as a tipping
is,
point.
Yes.
So at 0.2 Celsius a decade, we got 10 decades.
Yeah. But actually the projections because of the accelerated warming...
It's half of that.
It's like... You know, by the end of the century, it's
the
2 to 8 degrees.
I'll be a cyborg by then.
I know. I want to talk about my tipping point of Sandy. Always before, in the United States, when there were storms and rebuilding and hurricane, for example, in Katrina, people would talk about, is this part of climate change or not? And then they would raise climate change, but then basically nothing would happen. But in New York, something happened. And in the plans for rebuilding, the city government, in their plans, took the projections of sea level rise and climate change into account in the rebuilding, so that we actually are preparing here for these changing risks.
You are, Cynthia, you are part of the UCCRN. Are you not?
Yes.
Anyone? That's right.
Doesn't
spell
anything.
Urban Climate Change Research Network.
There are scientists and experts from cities all over the world, and it's in developing countries, cities.
Like, don't point to me.
Good luck with your little forests and your wizards.
The city, the vulnerability of the cities in developing countries is absolutely huge, especially the coastal.
So what
there
talking?
Are people, there are neighborhoods on stilts.
You're saying these health effects, these having to put houses on stilts, building seawalls, getting subway tunnels that can pump out flood, all that, if I understand you, you're saying it's going to happen in cities first, or cities especially, and that's where you want to put your thumb on the scale.
Yep, but it's happening now. It turns out that cities are the first responders to climate change. And
meaning the first ones to make changes.
They're making changes now. And I have to say,
that seems surprising. I would think it would be farmers or fisher people.
Yeah, farmers at sea.
Well, there are, okay.
So salmon farmers.
Climate farmers.
There are a couple of reasons. Why are cities taking this role of first
responders?
Bunch
of liberals with money to spend.
Well.
And lots of fear.
No. No.
You have a real problem.
What do cities need for people to live together? They need a water system. They need to have clean air. They need to have a transportation system. They need to work together to make things actually function. They have experience in dealing with other environmental issues like air quality. And they don't see climate change as that different. Okay,
who's quality. They in these examples?
These are the city leaders. So the mayors of cities around the world are forming. So we've been forming getting the scientists together, but the mayors have been getting together.
Who's we?
So
in this case.
We is UCCRN.
Okay.
The Urban Climate Change Research Network. That group has been working on getting the knowledge providers together. But the mayors and the city governments have been getting together and forming networks and signing on pacts with each other to set targets and timetables for greenhouse gas emissions.
Fantastic. We're going to talk more about this with Dr. Cynthia Rosenzweig, Eugene Merman, and Jermaine Clement after this. We'll be right back.
Bring on spring projects with Spring Black Friday Savings from The Home Depot. With free delivery on over 2 million items, you can bring on the spring cleaning, the patio decorating, and the front yard gardening. And if you need it fast, get same-day delivery on thousands of products like fertilizer and seeds to keep your yard looking beautiful. Bring on the spring doing and spring your way only at The Home Depot. How doers get more done. Order select in-stock items by 4 p.m. subject to availability.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. Dear small and medium businesses, no one wants happy customers more than you do. So you need a business partner just like you, like FedEx, who understands your passion for serving your customers because they have the same commitment towards you. That's why FedEx offers you picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the US on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. What's more, FedEx Ground is faster to more locations than UPS Ground. Trust FedEx for timely deliveries. See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively, FedEx.
Whether you're a family vacation traveler, business tripper, or long weekend adventurer, Choice Hotels has a stay for any you. And that's good, because there are a lot of me's. Choice Hotels has over 7,400 locations and 22 brands, including Comfort Hotels, Radisson Hotels, and Cambria Hotels. Get the best value for your money when you book with Choice Hotels. Cambria Hotels feature locally inspired hotel bars with specialty cocktails and downtown locations in the center of it all. Hey, that's me. Radisson Hotels have flexible workspaces to get the most of your business travel and on-site restaurants. That's me, too. And at Comfort Hotels, you'll enjoy free hot breakfast with fresh waffles, great pools for the entire family, and spacious rooms. Hey, that's me, too. I guess I'm just going to have to stay at all of them. Choice Hotels has a stay for any you. Book direct at choicehotels.com, where travel comes true.
Welcome back to Star Talk Radio. I'm your guest host this week, Bill Nye.
science guy, CEO of the Planetary Society, here with our beloved Eugene Merman. During this week of climate change awareness, we have Dr. Cynthia Rosenzweig, who, unlike many of the listeners, has a Nobel Prize for climate change back in 2007. He's still working hard on it.
One of many.
I know, but still,
she invented
it. Compared to the rest of the room.
It's her fault.
And that voice is Jermaine Clement, everybody. And Michael Shea is here.
All right, let's talk about this science.
It's really bad news, Michael. We've been talking about it. It's really bad news.
We've got big problems around the world, don't we, Cynthia? Like, we've got farming, which needs irrigation with clean water, and we've got species moving away from the equator, carrying all kinds of crazy diseases. And
well, all biology is affected by temperatures. So let's turn to food, I think, which is such an amazing hot topic now. And so my actual PhD is in agronomy, which is in the science of
soils
and crops. But on the climate change side, agriculture is a very, very important sector. First, because...
Well, we all eat,
because
right?
we yeah. eat. It's in some ways the fundamental sector, although, of course, my ecologist colleagues would, of course, say that it's the larger ecosystem, and agriculture is actually an ecosystem service.
You're a bunch of jerks. Why would they do that?
But anyway, agriculture is important because, first of all, it... itself is a emitter of greenhouse gases.
I mean, you don't have to, this is not rocket surgery. I have been to the Midwest. There's a lot of corn growing on great big fields. Yeah. There's a lot of soybeans growing everywhere. You can see them from space. So they've got to have an enormous effect on the climate, my goodness.
Well, yes, and the livestock also, because of the enteric fermentation, believe it or not, of the stomachs, yes.
Thank you for calling it a different thing.
And belch. put a lot of methane out, which is a very powerful greenhouse gas.
Michael, you were skeptical?
No, is that because I heard that? I heard that the cows fart and it's ruined and everything. But it seems like a,
I know, but
it seems like a hilarious way to go. So,
well, they don't explode. It's not like that. No.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying. Like,
they don't say "pardon me" either.
If that's the way the Earth ended, that would be pretty.
There would be no one to tell the joke to, but it would be pretty funny.
Like, if it was written in a great book, like an ancient book, when it's like, and then someday the cows will fart all at the same time, and that'll be the end of mankind. I'm like, nah, man, I'm not reading this book no more. It's fucking Daffy. But it's, you know.
It's true.
It's stranger than fiction.
It's actually true. Also, the fertilizer production, creating nitrogen fertilizer, is a highly energy intensive.
So
plus the fertilizer itself, when it's applied, emits another greenhouse gas, nitrous oxide, so the N2O.
So you're saying that's bad?
Yeah. This is the agriculture emission, you know, greenhouse gas emission side.
I have a fundamental question, though. In the old days, farmers would fertilize the field with the cow excrement, yes? But when you're talking about fertilizer made on an industrial scale, we're taking nitrogen out of the air. Is that right? Industrially?
Yes.
And then chemically, the Haber process or something, we're making fertilizer. And that takes a lot of energy.
Yep.
But since we're, seriously, I have a fundamental question. Since we're taking nitrogen out of the air, doesn't it just go back in the air eventually?
Well, no, it then reacts, and then it as it's applied, and then it reacts, and it goes back into the air as N2O.
As nitrous oxide.
Which is a powerful greenhouse gas.
It's a nitrous oxide, which you would use, like a dentist? Is that what a dentist uses to make you party?
Isn't that what, that's what teenagers
So far now, you flipped it, and I'm like, oh, this doesn't sound so bad.
Sorry, it has a big. It does have a big warming effect.
Well, stop doing it, everyone.
So these are horrible impacts.
Yeah. So, but at the same time, as we know from your description of the agricultural regions all over the world, also climate is going to have a big effect on food production itself. So it's on both sides that agriculture is such a very critical piece.
What's the biggest piece?
Well, in terms of the emissions, the fossil fuels are still the number one.
Uh-huh.
What is exactly fossil fuel?
Is that like those transformer robots?
Yeah.
It's carbon that was fixed in the earth and millions of years ago, buried. And so it is coal, which is the has the strongest effect for when it's burned for greenhouse gases.
Oh, coal.
And yeah,
coal. I know coal. Yeah,
coal.
And oil.
And then liquid fuels, and like our gasoline, and then diesel, etc., and then natural gas.
When they run out, though, anyway. When they run out.
Oh no!
No, there's a lot more.
I gotta tell you, that's the bad news. So we'll never run out of fossil fuel. There's so much coal. There's so much. Now in Canada, they're going tar sand, tar, oil shale.
Is that when you just shake Canada and then oil pops up?
Well, it would be great if you could do that. But the oil, the quality of the oil is much less usable. You have to burn a lot of oil to get it warm enough to process it.
So coal's bad, right?
It's bad.
Yeah.
Along with being in the UCCRN and the IPCC, you are also an AGMIP.
Yeah.
Aren't you the AGMIP?
Yeah. So I'll explain AGMIP, which stands for Agricultural Model, Intercomparison, and Improvement Project.
So what's the difference between comparison and intercomparison?
Compare the two.
And intercompare the two.
Well, we use intercomparison.
Intercomparison is like a black comparison and a white comparison doing it. Right? You know what that is?
And I'm fine with it.
So, you know, there's been a lot of work on the climate system models that make the projections that we were talking about.
And the word model, where these are computer programs.
It's computer programs.
They're not, I don't have glue.
No, they're not, they're, right.
Like tiny farms.
They're mathematical models that solve systems, that have variables and equations of systems so that, and then you can do experiments with models to say what will happen if the CO2 increases as on the trajectory that we're on, for example, that's on a global climate model. And then with agricultural models, we do what will happen if the climate changes the way those climate models project. So there's been tons of scientific work on the climate projection side, but on the impact side, which we're realizing more and more, hey, you know, climate change is happening. That's what we talked about at the beginning. And the impacts are already happening, and the impacts are projected to basically intensify. And we need to know what those are, because we have to deal with it even as we're working to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. We also have to deal with the impacts of a changing climate. So we got all the crop modelers, there's many, many of them. We bring them together so that they, because in the beginning, people were using their own models, and they didn't really want to say, oh, well, here's mine, and I'll show you mine if you show me yours.
I no longer know what you're describing. Are you describing how farmers flirt with each other?
No. We got everybody together finally, and people are now ready to say, look, because we have to compare, we have to learn from, otherwise if we only use one model, we start to believe it.
What about just a tube that goes into your stomach and you put the coal directly into it? Just an idea.
It's not that flavorful. I know what you mean, though. But
sometimes it has a barbecue-y. Just tell NASA, that's all I'm saying.
But
so you're saying this is all connected, right?
Could be. But when you have 30 models, I've spent a lot of time with people who are focused on denying climate change, just to talk briefly about me and my problems. And
But they don't get it together to organize a march, though, do they?
No. No, they don't. And
they will.
We had a big march in New York City. Over 300,000 people. Very cool.
I saw 50 in Brooklyn going, no, it's not true.
Really? Anyway, when you have 30 models, my experience with scientists like you, Dr. Rosenzweig, is you guys don't get along that well. Like, part of it, you use the term compare, and I think there was inter-compare up there earlier, and you're all trying to shoot each other down, often, or call into question, review carefully. But then what's happened is you've converged, right? Everybody has finding the same or very similar problems.
It's a very feisty profession. You're absolutely right.
So,
and we're like, you know, all, having many, yes. Those IPCC chapters have very spirited debates
anybody
before
ever,
they come to consensus.
Anybody ever get shot?
I don't think so, but I would say...
That would be a spirited debate.
Like
a scientist shot on the Las Vegas Strip on the passenger side of a BMW. Okay, well, maybe
it's
not.
2.5 degrees Celsius.
I'm just saying these disagreements get out of control if we're not careful.
But it still gets pretty, I would say...
Heated, but not violent.
Heated, but not violent.
All right. Do people ever hook up, though? Never mind.
But hold it. Let me... I want
That's
to get back to the
cities.
That's a
good-ass question.
But hang on a sec. Guys like Michael Mann, who's the first guy to come up with the hockey stick, or he led the hockey stick graph thing, where the world's steady temperature, then it gets warm really fast.
I thought you were literally talking about
That's
the inventor of the hockey stick.
No.
And I thought you were talking about the director of Miami Vice.
It's a very famous
TV show.
It's
I was
very
thinking,
famous
this is a prolific
graph.
Dude. Yeah.
The hockey stick is a graph where the hockey stick's on the floor and the blade is poking up toward the ceiling, getting warm very fast. But what I was going to say is he had harassment. Somebody sends envelopes with white powder to his house where his kids are, and they put this truck out in front with this sarcastic cartoon on the side. So there is a lot of controversy.
Wait, what did he – and he predicted the –
Well, the world's getting warmer fast.
Yes.
Yeah. But so the suggestion is anthrax, right? But what about the sarcasm? Is that how is he about that?
Well, I mean, if you have kids, and your father's ridiculed, it's troubling. It's something that doesn't happen to everybody.
Yeah, but your kids got to be pretty smart to pick up sarcasm.
The guy got a PhD from Yale or something. Yeah, so.
Yeah, no, he would totally get the sarcasm.
But listen, everyone in the world. Don't people notice that it's warmer? I've noticed that it's warmer in my city, and right now it's a few degrees warmer than it was when I first moved there 20 years ago. And right now it's kind of just a nice temperature. It's delicious, and I could even take another 1 or 2 degrees Celsius higher. And, you know, it would be good to be able to wear a T-shirt at night and just, you know, be relaxed about it, not have to pack a jacket in my bag.
Yeah, how do we find our comfort zone?
Well, but you have to understand that that's just a
step
along
the way. We're near Antarctica, so it's very cold, and it's just, we prefer it so far.
So there's been a lot of talk about that it's in the controversy, that it'll actually have some benefits for certain people, and carbon dioxide's good for crops and all this stuff, but it's the rate, right?
One is the rate of change is very rapid compared to when we look in paleoclimatic rates of change. The other is that it's human-caused. We're doing this ourselves with the increases in the greenhouse gas emissions. I think it's good to be honest that some things, not everything is a catastrophe, or certainly not everything is a catastrophe yet. I think it's really important.
Oh, that's good.
That is so hopeful. That's how I'll...
When I'm
suck your kids in with that.
When I'm going off a cliff...
I agree. Warmer temperatures will reduce people's heating bills right here in New York City in the winter.
But it might
keep flood.
Talking. Yeah, until you get the air conditioning.
But anyway,
built.
So I do. Yeah. One thing, we are very careful.
But they're going to have to buy a lot more surfboards.
We try to be clear about what's happening, what are the projections, and we and we say, this is what the models show. And then decision makers, and whom of course citizens are the number one decision makers, then they can decide
so
what to do.
Along that line, and we had a march in the big city in the United States. We had marches around the world, I guess. But you grew up, or you're an agronomist working on the crops out there, the soil, but you live in the city, and you work for the city network, right? Because you want to get the cities to lead the way. Is that accurate?
Well, in the late 1990s, I was asked to lead a study of how climate change would affect New York City. And it turned out that I think that it not only was the first one here in New York, but it was actually the first one
This is 20 years ago or something.
Getting on towards, So of any city anywhere. And then as we worked with the city here, under Mayor Bloomberg, he formed the New York City panel on climate change. So we were talking about the intergovernmental panel on climate change before. Well, actually, in the New York region, there is one just for...
What's the acronym?
NPCC. New York City Panel on Climate Change.
What fraction of the world's people live in cities? Seriously.
Over 50%.
Over half. So there you go. We're going to talk about those people.
Exactly.
We're going to talk about those people when we come back right after this.
Spring Black Friday savings are happening now at the Home Depot and also at your front door. Get spring savings delivered to you with free delivery on over 2 million items. Everything you need for spring cleaning, patio decorating, and front yard gardening sent right to you. And if you need it fast, get same-day delivery on thousands of products like fertilizer and seeds to keep your yard looking beautiful. Spring your way with Spring Black Friday savings only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Order select in-stock items by 4 p.m. subject to availability.
Life is a highway. And on it, there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.
All right, welcome back. Welcome back to Star Talk Radio. I'm your guest host, Bill Nye. Science guy, CEO of the Planetary Society, here with our beloved Eugene Merman. Hilarity continues out of control. Jermaine Clements here. You're not going to believe it, Michael Shea. And this week's science authority, Dr. Cynthia Rosenzweiss. So NASA has looked at climate change for how long? 25 years, 30 years.
Oh, yeah. Some of the first projections with the GIS global climate model were made in early 80s.
Are working to get the cities motivated to help lead the world because mayors of cities, leaders of cities, are not necessarily conservative or liberal or progressive. They have cities to run. They got bills to pay. They got taxes to collect. And they can't have the lower part of downtown flooding. And they can't lose their port if they're a seaport. If they live on a big river, they can't have the whole thing flood. So here's the thing. These are policy issues, right? You got where are you going to move people if they have to move? Who's going to spend money on seawalls if they have to be built? What's going to happen to crop production and farmers who've made their living in some place for the better part of a century, old family farm, they got to move or something? But let me ask you this. You're from the States, yeah, the U.S.?
Yes, I am.
It is my opinion that if the United States were leading, if the United States were out in front on all this, everybody else or many other countries would have less trouble fighting it. Do you agree with that?
Well, again, it's...
Oh, you're not allowed to say because you're a NASA employee.
Yeah. But I just would say that from the scientists, many scientists who have been working on this for Lowthys now decades.
Decades.
Yes. And bringing to the attention of the global community this mega planetary challenge so that we continue to do everything we can to provide the science, technology, everything that's needed, contribute to the knowledge foundation so that we can actually solve it.
So let me ask you this. It is my opinion, once again, which is correct, that... denial of climate change, which is what's held at least the United States back from getting going on this low these couple decades, is generational. That in general, younger people are less troubled. They embrace the problem and want to get on with it. Would you agree with that?
Now, I have to say that because I work in the area of climate science on impacts, I interact with groups from basically every generation. We've interacted with the Grey Panthers. They are completely for it too. So one day in the course of 24 hours, I gave four talks.
And one was to Panthers?
The Grey Panthers were in the activists.
This is the advanced AARP.
Anyway, right. You get it.
You know, it's just...
They're like really old black Panthers?
What I'm saying is that... I interact with so many groups, all of the groups. The young people are great. That's what's actually really needed, is it's everybody and all the different groups. And so it's great to have challenging, you know, I don't mind having challenging questions. Let's look at those challenging
questions.
Okay, here's
one.
Okay. All right, here we go.
Well, with the hotter temperatures, will mosquitoes evolve to be human size? I think that's what everyone's wondering. What's going to happen? What are the worst things that are going to happen?
Right. There's been a lot of research on how climate change will affect mosquitoes not getting so large, but also how they affect the carrying of the actual disease.
Isn't there something NASA does? They look at the temperature changes and they can predict a malaria outbreak based on...
That's actually very hard to do.
It's hard to do. I find it hard to do.
Right.
It's rocket science.
It's so multi-factor. But in terms of health, just plain old heat stress is also like the very big one.
NASA is saying
there's climate change. They're just not saying which politicians are helpful or not helpful or what to do about it.
Well, what do we do about it?
I smell a conspiracy.
Wait, so you don't have suggestions of what, or you're not allowed
to
present suggestions?
Well, listen, I know that I'm not allowed.
No, you're allowed to present suggestions.
Yeah. Well, I'll speak for you. But I just think it's mighty curious. Can I say that word, curious? I just think it's mighty curious that they're kind of disrupting things, and they're the ones that own all the spaceships.
Hardly a coincidence.
They're like, don't worry, we'll be fine on Earth. And then the last minute, they're like, guess what? Tickets to the moon, $6 billion. Then what? Think about it.
If you go to the moon, by the way.
Just saying.
If you go to the moon and you open the door, you'll notice you can't breathe. You'll notice that right away.
So they want you to believe.
Good point. It's a good point. Along this line, Doctor, you're working with cities. We're working in New York City, for example. But I imagine the president, he's using the means at his disposal, the president of the United States we're talking about, to make changes like executive orders as opposed to getting Congress, the U.S. Congress, to agree on things.
Yes, this is something I can talk about. President Obama and his administration has put out executive orders to the agencies of the U.S. government to prepare both mitigation on the reduction of greenhouse gases and on adaptation.
So you're talking about, I mean, I can easily imagine the Environmental Protection Agency would get some directive. I can imagine the Department of Agriculture get some directive. But you're talking about NASA.
No, all. Every agency.
Tobacco
has
and
to,
firearms and wood
agency,
or whatever it is.
So the executive order goes out about here's what here you have to be beginning to track your greenhouse gas emissions in your agencies. You have to begin to develop energy efficiency programs. You have to begin to develop your adaptation strategies. And so every agency is doing that.
There's a couple of old and happy numbers. One of them is 80 by 50. Right? 80% reduction in greenhouse gases by 2050. 80%, yeah, 80% reduction.
Reduction.
Can you imagine 80% fewer taxi cabs?
Just 80% reduction in
greenhouse gas.
Greenhouse gas emissions.
Okay,
and
so
I'm gonna,
but
I'll
Uber
tell you
will be fine?
Do.
Uber will be fine.
Yeah, it's going to be fine. There'll be electric.
I'll never get a cab.
But that's just in New York. Yeah. Right, doctor, we're doing this in cities all over
You'll
the world.
Yes.
Why didn't NASA, when they first heard about this, make solar-powered cars flying, if possible, and meat that just grows out of the ground with no animals, that with no farts? Why didn't you do this?
Why won't you plant meat in the ground, NASA? Is that correct?
Yeah.
But let me just say one thing about New York.
Avoiding the question.
Let me just say one thing about New York, which is...
slippery.
But also, it goes back to Michael's comment about the different cities, and different cities have different issues. Every city also has to find out what is their biggest source of emissions.
Now, when you say every city, you're not just talking about the United States.
No, all around the world. So
even
I was just in yes. Oh, and Paris is being very active because they're hosting the Conference of the Parties
2015
when the new agreement is supposed to. But anyway, what do we have in New York? We have a lot of old buildings, and they are incredibly open to the environment, very energy inefficient.
Single pane windows
and
leaky pipes.
Exactly, all of that.
The Chrysler Building already looks like solar panels. Why not make it all solar panels?
Will they do things like that? Will it be like?
Is so the Chrysler Building actually?
We're just going to be fixing stuff, not building.
Is
well,
it a
fixing
rocket?
Stuff's not bad. And by the way,
I
somebody
heard
asked you
that too. I heard that.
Yeah,
we've heard
the rumors.
So if you guys, somebody out here wants to get rich, if you can invent a pale pavement. Instead of black asphalt, if you could make somehow...
Easy.
That does sound easy. A lot
what
of these things
do?
Sound really easy.
You mean like a beige pavement?
Yes.
They call what it. About paint?
Paint is good, but when you put it on a street, you get it's limited. It's
so New York is already painting roofs white with a roof covering.
And what's the advantage of that?
Remember back to the
albedo
of the snow, the reflection of the snow. So you're
because it's so
cooling.
It's pretty.
It
reflects. Just,
instead of black tar roofs, right, just absorbing the solar radiation, right, the solar.
Yeah.
You have it's just
it reflects and goes back.
So that's a big program. That's cool.
What about
cool,
mirrored
it's
streets?
It's called cool roofs.
Mirrored streets? No?
No, because the ladies in their dresses.
It's reflecting your Catholic school upbringing. But we've got problems to solve
We're trying. We're trying.
And, but then the dress thing came
I honestly
up.
Don't think we're going to solve everything tonight.
No, we're gonna take a step.
Yeah. So, I think we've made a lot of progress.
Yes.
I like that one thing you said.
Thanks. So, we're burning fossil fuels, right? We are now making more natural gas than we use with fracking, right? We've got the information. Now we want to move to actions. Is that right?
Here's the issue with climate change. We can't give up on learning about it because it's evolving. We don't know, the climate system is evolving. We don't know exactly how it's going to change. So simultaneously, as we are seeing it with the climate summit, there is a move to action. But at the same time, we have to keep the science going so that we can continue in this back and forth
work
way.
The problem so, from both ends.
Exactly. It's got to be interactive as we go forward.
It has to grow and evolve.
Yeah.
Like science.
Exactly.
Because it's science.
So with that, everybody, I would like to thank our panel. Dr. Cynthia Rosenzweig.
Great.
Our Eugene Merman. Michael Shea. Jemaine Clement. I've been your host, Bill Nye. We will see you and listen to you next time on Star Talk Radio. Thanks very much. Turn it up loud.
Spring Black Friday savings are happening now at the Home Depot and also at your front door. Get spring savings delivered to you with free delivery on over 2 million items. Everything you need for spring cleaning, patio decorating, and front yard gardening sent right to you. And if you need it fast, get same-day delivery on thousands of products like fertilizer and seeds to keep your yard looking beautiful. Spring your way with Spring Black Friday savings only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Order select in-stock items by 4 p.m. subject to availability.
At Capella University, you'll get support from people who care about your success. From before you enroll to after you graduate, pursue your goals knowing help is available when you need it. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.